bachelor's degrees with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
This is Doug Vaughn here to tell you to call my friends Mark and Neil Gilman of Coldwell Banker Premier. Mark and Neil's incredible marketing strategy sells more homes, over $500,000, all with five-star reviews. Find the Gilmans online at 590homes.com and start packing.
Certain restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Cardinals broadcaster and Schnucks shopper Dan McLaughlin. How are you doing with those resolutions? If you're starting to eat a little healthier this year and looking for a place to start, start at Schnucks. Schnucks has the freshest produce in town to help you get on the right track. Did you know they sell more organics than anyone else in St. Louis? Schnucks can also help make simple swaps throughout the store that will help you build a healthier basket. Look for the healthy eating bins when you're in the store. Schnucks. Eat good to feel great.
Hollywood Casino. Come play, where the rewards and thrills never end. Catch the big game with a cold beer from 99 Hops House. It's your play call with 99 different beers to choose from and great food to fuel your fun. Enjoy live sports entertainment where you're always on the winning team. Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Must be 21. Gambling problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
Get remarkable results when you partner with licensed or certified estheticians who ensure advanced skincare treatments. Support your skincare routine because healthy skin needs healthy skincare. See franchise locations or visit massageenvy.com.
Missing that extra kick in your step these days? Then it's time to give U.S. Men's Medical Center a call for the newest and most affordable testosterone replacement therapy. This is safe with most existing medical conditions, and they will do comprehensive exam and lab work to determine if there are any problems. They accept all insurance, including Medicare. Schedule an appointment online at usmensmedicalcenter.com. Give them a call at 636-244-5333 or visit their office at 303 Jungerman Road, Suite B in St. Peter's.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step.
How much longer till Thursday?
Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover. Crossed over.
What in
if
the world?
I ever had.
I know I should know that theme. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Damn.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Magnum P.I.
Why did you play that today?
I don't know. I was just randomly going through the intros, and I was like, oh, I haven't played this one in about a year, so...
Maybe there was a reason, like Tom Selleck's birthday or something, no?
Just no, because Tim looks like... Tim's a private investigator. He looks a lot like Tom Selleck. And drives around. Like
Tim, who looks like Tom Selleck?
Tim
Albertson. No, Tim Albertson, a guy we don't know in Chicago.
Yeah. Tim McKernan.
Yeah.
Tim McKernan.
Oh my goodness, we have so much to talk about today. This is one of the good things about Monday. One of the bad things is, yeah, it's Monday, but one of the good things is that usually over the course of our 3-day weekend, things happen. We discover things. We find things. And there's plenty to talk about. So the day's going to fly by today. Let me start by welcoming all of you to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
Oh, this thanks. Is the... Frank, I'm just going to tell you right now, Dan, a foreign entity has invaded Dan's body today because the entire hour prior
love
to
you,
the
Dan.
Show, he was... I offered him illegal medicine. Before the show.
To calm him down?
Pretty much. I'm not kidding.
Well, they put in a new computer.
Well, Dan, hold on. Let me welcome. Let me finish welcoming people, and then we're going to have to discuss your issue. It has to be more than just a new computer, although that could throw you for a loop, a new computer. So, as I was saying, welcome everybody to this, the 24th of February, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Was it 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day?
Okay, now back to your behavior, Dan.
I don't know what's going on.
It's not just Tim either. It's Limey, too. Because Dan just talks in foreign tongues, and anytime you talk to Limey, all he does is say, caw-caw.
Caw-caw!
See? I can't have a conversation with him.
So what is going on with you two?
I'm just having a really good day.
I don't mean the band. I mean you and Dan.
Oh, no. We're just having issues with the computer, and it was just...
Dan was having a meltdown.
Getting nuts in
it was
here.
It was a really funny meltdown, though, and it made me very hard, like, get ready for work.
It made you very hard.
I realized
hard
what I said.
No, you just said that. No, you said it made me very hard.
All right, hang on a second. Let me write this down.
What in the world?
It's been a long day for me, all right?
David Solomon, if you're listening, I'll pay you $50 if you edit that out of the podcast and get it to me somehow, some way, because I don't know how to do that.
Oh, we'll find lots of time to pop that in there. And it made me very hard.
Just to recap, Dan was having a meltdown, a funny meltdown, and it made me hard. That's what he said.
That may be the gayest thing that's ever been said on this show. Wow. Except for Tim's. He finished first, and I finished. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, second gayest.
Right. Nothing will ever out-gay that.
So right around 3:15, 3:16, we'll have David pull it.
Yeah, I got that. I got the time.
You will or you won't, depending on whether or not you get your head back on straight after this new computer fiasco. So nobody told any of it? Did they just went in and put in a new computer, and all of a sudden it's there today?
Apparently, they put it in Friday, and we came in, and we're trying to log into stuff.
Why? No. Was the other one shot?
It was running on Windows 7. It was starting to mess up. It was time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Different things were running slow and not running at all. And
well, that's a good sign, though. That's a sign that, you know, they're willing to update things, even though nobody really knows who owns or runs the place right now.
All right, so the funniest part for me is that Dan is blind as a bat. Like, the man cannot see without his glasses on. And
everything's tiny on this new computer.
here's how blind he is. He can't see with his glasses on.
So he's there trying to put, input the username and the password and all that, and it's very small writing, and everything that he was doing was wrong. It was just hilarious.
Just like every other day for the last 30 years.
Oh, it's funny.
Well, and then David sends me a text giving me the username and password, what I thought was the username and password, and I put everything in wrong.
Of course you did. It
was a nightmare.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the audience doesn't care, but that they need to know so that in the course of the day today, when things happen, they'll know that, well, you know what? Actually, like always, it's your fault. So there's really nothing.
That's right.
There's really nothing new here. Yeah. I know that I have some things to address. And look, I know that certainly two of you in the room are huge hockey fans, and that emergency goalie story.
Oh, my goodness.
What a great story. But you know, at first I was under the impression that the guy was just, he drives a Zamboni machine, so let's bring him over here and see if he knows how to be a... But it's not really quite like that. I mean, he knows hockey. He practices with the Maple Leafs fairly frequently.
And
so,
the minor league team, too.
Yeah, it's not like he'd never been on the ice before, but I do kind of get it. It's what this has happened, like three other times or something? It's not something that happens all the time.
There was a guy, Tim, was that last year in Chicago?
No, it was a couple years ago.
A couple years ago in Chicago?
So it's not common, and for both goalies to get knocked out of it. I mean, that's very uncommon. I get that. But what a great thing for him. I guess he's on the Today Show. He's on Fox News. He's a big star. This is his 15 minutes. Good for him. He seems like a really decent guy.
They're taking his stick and putting it in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was the...
Look at what most people have to do to get in the Hall of Fame. Play hockey their whole lives, or baseball or football. They never get in. One night... Something this happens and this guy gets in the hole. I think it's great.
A half a game.
Well,
Yeah.
I spent 10 years in minor league hockey. And
what?
Yeah.
You never mentioned it.
I know.
I don't never mention it.
Well, Limey scowls at me when I do, and that's why I never mention it. But all teams, regardless of NHL or minor league, have to have what's called a quote-unquote house goalie that's on hand. It's in the league rule book. And the Blues had a situation a couple of years ago, or actually a couple of decades ago, where one of their goalies got injured, and Susie Matthew, who was the PR director of the Blues at the time, had to go into the lounge where the house goalie was drinking beer and had to sign him to a contract on the spot. And this guy had about five beers in him, and he signs a contract on the spot and then has to, like, stumble down to the Blues dressing room, put on a uniform, and then sit there at the end of the bench.
Nice.
I think they have a sobriety requirement now, but that's a true story.
That's a decent day's pay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, there's actually, because I think there's a joke for almost everything. There's a joke, a goalie, hockey goalie joke. Did you know that? And I'll be happy to throw it in as a bonus joke. Right,
oh, I'd love to hear it.
Well, and Tim, you can use it as a hockey guy if you ever have to get up and speak somewhere. You go, you know, one of my great stories, my favorite stories, and you can act like it's true, but mm-hmm. the story goes something like, and I haven't told it for quite a while, that there's a dad whose son is a tremendous hockey fan, and the boy is not well, and dad takes him as many hockey games as he can. And they become friends with the goalie on the team. And he takes a liking to the kid and sees to it that he gets great seats. He works it out so they can always go to the games. But the dad is a devout Catholic, and so is this goalie. And the dad of this sick boy knows that the Pope somehow knows this hockey player, this guy who is either at a visit in town or something. The Pope went to a game and met him. There's some connection there. And the dad says, you know, you've done a lot for my son, and I appreciate it. Boy, if there's ever a way that my son could meet the Pope. And as soon as he says it, this professional hockey player, this team goalie, goes to work. He fires off emails to the Vatican, and incredibly gets a response that, yes, the Pope would be happy to have the hockey player, the dad, and the son all come to the Vatican for a private meeting. And the dad can't believe it. I mean, he's ecstatic. And so the hockey player, who makes a lot of money, picks up the tab for the tickets to Rome and the whole thing. And they get there, and sure enough, a private meeting. And there are only four people in the room. It's just the Pope and the Father and the Son and the goalie host.
Oh, my God. Oh,
my God.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yes, thank you.
Jeez.
Thank wow. you. Host.
Wow.
Thank you.
Father, Son, and the
and goalie host.
Man.
Tim acts can like he's a grown up. Tim will tell it. Tim will tell it tonight.
I can't believe I never heard it.
There aren't a lot of hockey jokes.
I know.
I've got a request for another joke that apparently you haven't told in a long time. It says the ladder joke. Could you tell that sometime soon?
We just told it not long ago. The guy who's he dies and he's going up in the clouds, and I mean, I just told it like 3 or 4 months ago. But
did he?
That has to be the joke.
Remember.
It's the only ladder joke I know, unless it's the FM DJs who are out of work and they decide to pretend to be, you know, handyman or so. I think it's the one in heaven.
Yeah, I think it's the one in heaven. I don't remember hearing
okay,
that.
Here. Well, I'll just do it. I feel generous today. And Dan, you'll remember it. And I know Tim heard it, and it has not been, there's no way it's even been 6 months ago, but this guy dies on the operating table, pronounced dead, and then his soul, his spirit, he finds himself in ascending into the clouds. And, you know, the expression, he's on cloud nine. Well, there are layers of clouds, and it's kind of like being in an elevator, and everything stops. He's floating upward, and he stops, and he steps off onto a cloud. And an angel says, you know that you are dead. He said, yeah, I do. This is very confusing. I'm obviously up in some sort of heaven. You're in the clouds. He says, and by the way, you have a choice to make. You can you can stop right here, or, and he points in, there's a ladder. He says, or you can climb the ladder to success. And he thinks, you know what? I'm going to climb.
Oh, yeah, now you remember.
I do remember.
Yes. Do you remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, now for the people listening, because I don't want to get a bunch of emails and go, you didn't finish it. He says, I think I'll climb the ladder. And they said, all right, good luck to you. And he starts climbing and climbing and climbing. There's another stopping off point at another cloud, and another angel says, welcome. You can stop here and spend eternity here, or, and points back to the ladder, or you can climb the ladder to success. He thinks, well, you know what? I think I'll get back on that ladder. I'll climb. And he climbs up again. Another cloud, another angel. Same thing. Stop here. He, again, chooses the ladder. He climbs the ladder, and this time he steps off, and there's no more to the ladder. He's on the top. No more rungs. And he steps off, and a great big, fat, sweaty guy walks up and says, hi, I'm Sess.
Oh, man.
I'm the ladder to success.
The second I heard that, I was like, oh.
I knew you'd, but I knew you'd remember it.
Right.
I knew you'd. Tim, try to remember that. Make a little note of that, because I think you can get a lot of mileage out of that father, son, and the goalie host. Now, there may be somebody who's offended. Well, I don't think that's funny. It's sacrilegious. No, it's not. Lighten up, folks. It's not sacrilegious at all.
Oh, and this is the beginning of Lent. Wednesday is Ash Wednesday.
Well, not only that, but this is the week that precedes Leap Day, which is Saturday. There's a February 29th this year, and it's Saturday. And we're going to see this again for four more years. So kind of a big deal, I guess. Now, the kids that are born on February 29th have to make a decision. Do they want to celebrate their birthday? And I wonder on the birth certificate, it would say February 29th, 2020. 229-2020.
Right.
But you have to celebrate your birthday on, I would imagine, March 1st, because we went through this before. Not the 28th, because you weren't born. You were born the day after the 28th, which in any other year will be March 1st. And every fourth year, you can actually celebrate on your real birthday. So that's kind of interesting to me, that you have a March 1st birthday party, except for every fourth year. Then you have a February 29th. But no, you can't go with the 28th, because you were not born on the 20th. You were born on the day after. So you're a March 1st kid, except for every fourth year. Oh, my goodness, I got so much I wanted to talk about here, but let's see if there's any. You guys may have something even better. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
All right. This is the voice of the massage place. I'm not paid to speak for them, so I won't mention the name, but I think he's doing a very good job with that, and who knows what that will lead to. Limey Phillips, everybody.
Thank you very much, Frank. I started my internship at Centene today. So I had to be up at my... Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't even know what Centene is.
It is a health insurance place.
Ah, okay.
So basically, and they've got like 60,000 employees across the world.
Ooh.
Right? I know.
This is a non-paying internship?
No. This is a paying internship.
Way to go.
So that's even better. Like, you know.
Woo-hoo!
There you go. So yeah, I've got to do this for college credit. Know how long?
So are you out of the restaurant thing now?
Yeah. I am officially out of the restaurant.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Their loss.
Right? I shall miss thee. Oh well. But and I just like so. This is my first ever actual corporate wearing a shirt and tie, nice pair of trousers job, and it is.
You know how we know you lived over in England? You said trousers.
Yeah. Oh, instead
nobody
of pants.
Says that. Yeah. Nobody
right.
says that.
Right.
In
pants.
The South, they still say britches. Bring me a pair of britches.
A pair of britches. Yeah. I like that.
Trousers. Or, you know, the other word? Slacks. We never say that. Women do. Women's slacks. But men used to say men's slacks and sport coats. You never see that anymore either. So,
no, you don't.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Trousers just kind of led me astray for a second. Go ahead.
Well, no, it's just so this is my first time down there. And I'd heard that the Centene complex was kind of like a big area. This thing is an entire city block of Clayton. It's got three large buildings.
You know what's even bigger? Their Sin Adult Complex.
I see what you did there. Bigger. I see what you did there.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
The Sin Toddler Complex is really small.
But I got to experience that today. It was really quite interesting. I'm a little bit nervous for when I actually have to start doing work, but it was really cool. I got lost maybe once. Everyone, I was trying to make my way from the parking lot where I had to sign in, but I found my way. So,
Do they have an employee handbook that they make you read?
Yes. They have an employee handbook, but it's basically what they do. They have their own little, like, internet service. It's called an intranet, and that's the new employee handbook now.
You can't act there the way you act with us.
No.
Here.
No,
that's
I like cannot.
That's fly in a real Mm-mm. company.
There you is no way. I mean, no. I'm going to have to watch how loud I speak. I'm not going to be able to tell anybody to shut up. Or
can't
like
tell
point
jokes.
People.
Can't tell. Yeah, because somebody might overhear a joke.
Can't tell jokes. You know, can't pass gas when I want.
Here's what I would say. If I were you in that environment, I wouldn't even use that C-A-N-T word the way you say it.
They might mishear it. Sorry.
Somebody could walk by, and you're telling a story about, I can't, and all they hear is can't, and they go, that new guy said the C word for women, and now you're in trouble, so you might want to practice cannot.
It's my accent.
And if you decide to have sex with any of your coworkers, you have to make them sign a waiver first.
Yeah.
Yes. What the heck?
Well, sure you do.
You know that
Harvey Weinstein's female lawyer actually said that in public, that she said, if I were advising a client today, if he was having sex with anybody, I would advise him to get a consent form signed first.
Wow.
Well, she's pretty smart.
Yeah. So Weinstein actually kind of...
Yeah, he's actually guilty.
Well,
like,
he's guilty on two counts, though. Not all.
Well, he's not going to go away for life.
Okay. No. But, I mean, I'm thinking a good 5 or 6 years, at least now.
He faces 29 years. They let him out of the court today in handcuffs and took him to prison today.
That's my mentality on this is, okay, they kind of went halfway and they play and he's like, you know, they charged him with guilty.
Let's get back to you.
Oh, sorry.
About you.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
You've been to the complex, okay, the Centine. Did you see anybody yet that you think you might want to have sex with?
No, actually, I didn't. I did not.
Okay.
I didn't.
That's good.
I wasn't walking around.
The security
just
guard
like,
at the door.
No, Mike, I did not.
He was
I would
a nice
not.
Guy.
Well, maybe you'll get lucky and you'll work only around unattractive women. There won't be any temptation.
You know, maybe tomorrow I'll go in with more an eager line, just be like, "Ooh, I'd like to impregnate you. I'd like to impregnate you."
Oh, you see, you can't. No, that's the kind of behavior right there. You can't say. You can say that here. You can't say that there.
You'll be back.
Even as a joke.
I will be in trouble.
You'll be back serving pizza by Friday.
Yeah. You bet you will.
Yeah, but no, it's really cool. Like, I walked in there and I was like, wow, I'm in Clayton, huh? I made it.
See, I have no, I can't relate to that because I've never worked in a big company. I actually got a job at Meritz, and then I turned it down a million years ago. And I'm glad I did because not that Meritz is a great company, but it's a big company and they got a real HR department and you got to take a test and you know that kind of stuff and it's just not for me. I couldn't survive in that totally politically correct type environment. I don't know how people do it anymore. There's so much you can't do. I don't know how they do it. I'd mess up the first day.
You almost can't say hi to anybody anymore.
Well, you
got to
be careful how you say hi to
right.
What, did you ask me if I'm high? No, what? Yeah. No, you look at me when high. You said like a question, high? Like, we think I'm high? Yeah, I'm going to the boss. Yeah, I mean...
You're out of here.
Well, I'll tell you a true story. A former employee of mine now is in the Electricians Union, the IBEW in St. Louis. And
right. Yeah, the IBU.
They have a policy that if you're working at a public hospital or a place like Centene or anywhere where they contract you out, there is a three-second rule. That is grounds for termination. And if you make eye contact with a female unknown to you for more than 3 seconds, it's grounds for being written up or termination. And if you turn around to get the butt shot to see how that looks, that's immediate termination.
Wow.
Well, that's ridiculous to me.
What if she's got something on her face? Like, you know, what if she's got, like, you know, a little
like a
stain
big
or
mole.
Something?
Maybe a big mole.
I was going to go with, like, a bit of cake or something like that, you know, or a sandwich.
I guess they determine that.
Mayonnaise.
I guess they determine if you make eye contact with anybody more than one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi.
Okay, that was creepy.
I just looked at Limey right in his eyes while I counted off Mississippi's, and he admits that's creepy.
I felt violated.
3 seconds. 3 seconds is a creepy amount of time to stare at somebody right in their eyes and not say anything to them.
Yeah, that is creepy.
Well, then here's my message to, because this is for the most part about men and women, and it's really about for more than women looking at men. Let's be real. It's about men looking at women. So here's my message to the ladies out there. Dwight Yoakam recorded a song many, many years ago called "Try Not to Look So Pretty." It's a great song, and he's saying, "Try not to look so pretty next time that we meet." You know, try not to look so pretty, and then I won't, fall over myself and ogle you. So, ladies, maybe you need to tone it down a little because a lot of you. You dress and you do your hair and you make yourself up to be noticed, to be looked at, to look attractive. And when you look attractive, the natural reaction for heterosexual men is to look at you. And maybe look at you longer than just a very quick glance. And I'm sorry, but that's our nature. And the only way you can really stop it is try not to look so pretty. Well, there you go. I think that's ridiculous, 3 seconds.
If a girl walks by and she does have a nice butt, it's not good to turn around to your coworker there while you're doing something.
Well, if
nice ass.
Well, like, damn,
you should say,
Frank, I challenge you.
Don't say that.
Frank,
nice fart box.
Exactly.
Oh.
Frank, I challenge you.
Damn.
Next time you're in a grocery store, I challenge you to look at a female for three consecutive seconds without looking away and not saying something to her or her looking away before the 3 second mark.
She may look away.
Mm-hmm.
But I will absolutely look at an attractive woman for more than 3 seconds. I have a question, Limey.
Yeah.
And you might ask them this. Go into HR and do it seriously and say, do I get punished if in this big company there's a very attractive woman and I get an erection? Because that's an involuntary. No, wait a minute. I'm serious. That's an involuntary thing. We can't control that.
Yeah. So you want me to go in?
Day, and your second day, like Tim said, you go in and go, I just want to make sure I've got all the rules.
No. So here's how it's going to play out. Like, Frank, you be the HR representative, and I'll just be me, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Come on in, Mr. Phillips. Welcome to Centene. How are you?
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, it's my second...
I understand you have a question.
Yeah, it's my second day here, and I've just been kind of wondering... You know, say if I see a really attractive woman just walking around the office and all of a sudden I go from 6 to midnight. Am I in trouble for that at all? Or, you know, is there like,
A leeway process? I'm sorry, Mr. What was your question? Would you just repeat it? I'll make sure I understand.
Say if I become excited at the sight of a lady.
Excited, what do you mean excited? Like you jump up and down?
I mean, I get a erection. I get a massive boner,
Mr. Phillips, first of all, the correct grammar, you're in a huge corporate environment, is if I get an erection, not a erection.
My apologies. Thank you for correcting my grammar.
That's okay.
Is that allowed in this workplace? Am I allowed to have a tent in my pants, or do I just go to my office, my desk, and hope it calms down?
You're fired.
Well, Mr. Phillips... that is an involuntary reaction, one that you didn't mean to have happen.
This is true.
Something you didn't deliberately will. It's not something that, for example, if you reach out and you were to grab, let's say, a woman's breast, that's something you did knowingly and voluntarily. An erection is part of human nature. It is something that heterosexual men get when they see an attractive female. So if that happens, you're fired. Even though there wasn't anything you could do about it, you're out of here. So you don't let that happen. My suggestion, Mr. Phillips, is that you strap her down pretty good before you come to work every day.
Strap her down pretty good.
So strap him down.
Be, strap, well, him, correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would not happen.
Strap her down.
My penis identifies as a woman.
Now, Mr. Phillips, now, by the way, the person you're talking to, am I a female or a male?
You are a male in this situation, because I feel like if I'm going to go and ask an HR representative about... it would be very uncomfortable going up to a woman and just being like, hey,
now,
is this okay?
What about this scenario?
All right.
Let's go back and do this again. I'm the HR guy.
Okay.
And you walked in. Yes, Mr. Phillips, you had a question. Go ahead. What is it? Which question, Mr. Phillips?
Same question as before. I didn't know we were still doing this. I get excited, and then all of a sudden... is in my pants. How do I deal with it?
Well, Mr. Phillips, that depends on whether or not you're getting excited over a female coworker or me. And if it's me, I would have to have some private counseling time with you.
Uh-oh.
Hey, now.
We would require several after-work hours of therapy and counseling. And I would be happy to spend that time with you. Any other questions?
No, I'm good.
All right. Welcome aboard.
See, it all depends on who you're talking to. Yeah. Oh. Nah, you're not going to have any problems.
I'll be all right. Hopefully nobody out there is listening to this right now, because I might have just lost my attention.
This was us, not you. We created this discussion.
No, that's true. They don't.
You're the limey. Brought this stuff.
That's right. I'm limey.
Limey here.
Yeah, you're mm-hmm. a different person. You're Trevor there.
Yeah.
Like two different people. And honestly, it is like being two different people because of the two completely different types of workplaces. You know, anything kind of goes here to a degree, and there you got to, you know, I just got an email. I won't say who it's from. It says, let me read the... It says they teach you that in HR classes. It's called leering, and it's stupid. And
what?
It says plus it says hugging or a pat on. This is someone who I know is in a large corporate environment. It says plus hugging or a pat on the back is technically assault.
What?
And there are some companies that will tell you that. A pat on the back or a hug could be misinterpreted as assault. Pat could be a hit. You meant it to be a pat. It's insane.
Wow.
No, the world's gone crazy. It's ridiculous. So, good luck. You'll do real well.
Thank you.
There, I think they're lucky to have you.
Ah, Frank. Well, shucks. Thank you.
So Frank, I told you. I got a call from those people. I told you that.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. You did.
Asking about you.
I did too.
Yeah.
See, we got you that gig, actually.
You guys got me covered.
Dan and I probably got you that deal.
Said, who is this? Who are you talking about?
So if you become wildly successful there, don't forget, you know.
Oh, no. The first thing we're doing.
Helped you along the way. Whose shoulders you stood on.
If I make it big there, the first thing I'm doing is marching down to marketing and saying, hey, you need to advertise in the large morning show in the afternoon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't work very well. That restaurant where you work, they just blew years of you having the opportunity to make them part of our show here. You couldn't have done their commercials, but I could have.
And right.
You could have helped me. I could say, hey, what's the special today? But they didn't take advantage of that. Anything else for the Burke segment?
I have nothing.
All right, anybody?
Yep. Oh, boy. I guess I do.
You guess you do.
Yeah, I do.
Right. Dan Strauss, everybody.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I scheduled a colonoscopy today.
First one?
To be done, yes, to be done on the 13th of March. So it's a Friday. Friday the 13th. And she said...
Oh, boy.
She said, are you superstitious? I'm like, no, I'm fine.
No, I'm a little stitious.
I'm fine. But then she said, she says, okay, we'll give you the stuff. We don't prescribe it anymore. You just go. We tell you what to go buy at the store. So now they said you can get it at a grocery store.
What?
At Walgreens. Yeah. Yeah, that's what she said.
Wow. Yeah, it's always been a prescription.
I know. Well, not any longer. So it's I'm going to buy it. So she's going to send me all the information and everything.
Did she tell you what it's called, what it is?
No. It's in my, I have a MyChart thing, and they send it. Yeah, they'll send me what to get. But,
well, look, Tim, you've never had one, have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had one last year.
Okay. Yeah. It's nothing. It's 2 hours of misery, and that's it. And that's the 2 hours before you even go. That's at home. And the rest is nothing. It's absolutely nothing.
Well, here's what
I mean. You've been more uncomfortable sitting in traffic than you'll be having a colonoscopy.
Oh, no.
But it's that prep thing that's a drag.
Yeah, and the prep thing, here's what she told me. She said, for an 8:30 appointment on Friday morning, or I had an option, 8:30 or 1 o'clock. And she said, you will have to start taking the stuff no later than 5 p.m. on Thursday.
Right.
And I'm like, what? 5 p.m.? I said, what if I go to the 1 o'clock? And then she says, no later than 5 p.m. on Thursday on either one of those times.
Oh, yeah, then get the early one. Get it over with.
So I did the early one, but I'll have to, I'll be here and I'll start taking the stuff at 5.
Wait, what's Friday? Oh, that's right.
No, Thursday.
Oh, no. You can take it at 6. Please don't take it at 5 o'clock.
Will you make it home?
I'm with Limey. That's risky.
That's very dangerous.
No, I would wait until 6.
There's wiggle room. You can wait till 6:30.
So.
There's absolutely some wiggle room. Here's the other thing. And when I did it, it's like a gallon of this stuff. I just could not choke down the final couple of glasses. And by the time I got to that point, there was nothing left in me anyway. I just dumped the rest of it out and it was fine.
And that's what Tim said, basically.
You can't throw half of it away, but they're overly cautious about everything, about the start time, how much to drink. Well, if you move that needle a little, it's not going to be the end of the world. I'm not a doctor, but I'm just telling you. Don't start it here oh my goodness, during the show.
I wouldn't do that.
You'll never get home.
No.
This might be the most disgusting and cringy text I've ever received or read, and it just says, the worst thing about a colonoscopy is the squishy walk back to the car after the exam.
I didn't have that. I don't know what that even means. I had two, and I never. No, never had that. Don't know what that means.
Well, from the lube.
No. There's no. That's not true. The only time I ever had a squishy walk was when you get that digital exam, prostate exam.
Oh yes.
Then you do have the squishy walk.
You do.
Because you get the lube, and then this is the embarrassing part. They hand you a tissue. Oh. You go, here, wipe that stuff out. But you want to get it done quickly, get your pants up and get moving, so you don't really get it all. Then on the way to the car, but not after the colonoscopy. The colonoscopy, I wondered if they even did it. That's how little, actually there was nothing to even let me know I'd had anything done. I wondered if they actually did it when I woke up.
Well, yeah, they put you out, right? They put you out.
Well, you're in twilight, they call it. So you don't know. You might as well be out. You have no idea what's going on. It's just nothing.
Any anesthetic with me.
By the way, that person that said the squishy walk, they may want to go back and check and see what actually happened back there.
They went to the Weinstein Clinic for colonoscopy.
The Bruce Limprist colonoscopy wing. Brother.
Oh, my God.
Well, good luck with that. It's down the road. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, it's a couple weeks. Mardi Gras over the weekend. You actually called me when we were down there, but the Mardi Gras, it's actually so much fun down there.
It's fun for you.
It's crazy.
Because you like everything.
It's absolutely crazy. Well, we were in a private...
For a lot of people...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, then it wouldn't be fun for me.
It was insane. But there were, we were in a private business, which was a block off of the parade route. So we had an escape, and we had a couple of bands, and we just jammed all day long. And people brought in food and stuff so we could go up and watch the parade and then come back or go out if people wanted to walk around or whatever. So you had an escape building to go to.
Can I just say something to listeners who might want to ever use you as some sort of barometer for what they might find fun. Oh. Here's what you need to know, folks. I've known this guy for like 30, 35 years. I've never known of any place where he ever went where he didn't have fun. Everything's fun for him. So just because he said, oh, we had a blast, he says that about everything. It's a great way to be. I'm the opposite. Most everything, you ask me if I went, did I enjoy it? No, I hated it. I'm just the opposite. So you're the better way to be is like you, but folks, don't think that because Dan had fun, you would. He has fun everywhere.
Well, it's the second time we've done that, and I've always sworn I'm never going down to Soulard for the Mardi Gras because there's so many people, and the parking is a nightmare and everything
else.
Then
why do you go back if you do that every year?
Because we have a route to get in and a route to get out, and we have...
But didn't you have a route to get in and out the last time?
Yes. Yeah, we did. We did.
And so you still said you're not doing it again, but you did it again.
No, I said I would never go down before if I didn't have that escape building to go to. So you have your own. They have a bathroom in there, and we have.
Well, and somebody has to make some accommodations. You're a celebrity, for goodness' sake. People be all over you, have your autograph, that kind of thing.
Oh yeah, it's nuts.
It has to be taken into consideration.
It's crazy.
I have a feeling we can close the Burke segment. Segment is officially closed. Oh, what a dilemma. I got something I want to plague you, but I have some business to do. Let me do one piece of the business, and then I'll play this for you. The business is First Community Credit Union. I got a wonderful email from a guy in Arizona. Hang on, maybe I have it here close by. And he essentially says, here we go. He said, Frank, I am a loyal yard sale listener in Arizona. I love America, and I love all you guys for what you do. His name is Craig, and I won't read the last name, but it looks Asian. That's why I think he says, I love America. And then at the bottom, he says, Dan is awesome. And obviously, what? He's talking about Dan Buffa.
Oh, yeah, probably.
He's talking about, because he didn't put a last name on it. So I think we can assume. But that was just short and sweet. Thank you, Craig. I appreciate your yard sale loyalty. So see, there you go, folks. There's a guy in Arizona. I know that they have yard sale type shows in Arizona, but not like this one, because this one's special. It's different. It's better. Because it has one sponsor, First Community Credit Union. Not a bunch of commercials. In fact, no other commercials. And only one every 15 minutes for First Community Credit Union. It's a great place to bank. Sponsor the yard sale for years now. And huge supporter of what we do. And they play a big part in keeping this show on the air. So those are enough reasons, I would think, for you to consider becoming a member, doing all your banking there. I don't bank anywhere else but First Community Credit Union for anything. Don't need to, because everything you want or need in a banking facility, they have. Now, what's the difference? If they have it and other places have it, what's the difference? Well, the difference is that this is a credit union and not a traditional bank. Still a banking facility, and there is a difference. One of the differences is, and if you talk to members, they'll tell you they notice sort of a competitive edge when it comes to rates. How is it that First Community Credit Union can oftentimes have a rate that's better than another banking facility? I'm not sure I know the answer to that. I just know they do. A lot of times they do. The other is service and the way you're treated. Part of the reason for that is that you're the boss. We own the credit. We own First Community Credit Union. We, the members. It is member-owned, not-for-profit. Banks have owners. At the end of the year, they split up the profits and go home to their spouses and go, ooh, look how much money we made this year. The profits at First Community Credit Union go back into the credit union. So those are a few reasons. They have all that usual stuff that everybody wants in a banking facility, you know, credit cards, debit cards, checking accounts, blah, 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 car loans, home loans, all that stuff. And they like small businesses. If you're a small business, you're looking for a great business banking partner, might I recommend First Community Credit Union? If you want to know more, You can stop in at any of the over 40 locations. That's how big they are. In fact, they're the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. Or you can go to firstcommunity.com. I think the greatest poet, at least in my lifetime, is Willie Nelson. I know that he's a singer and a songwriter, but he's, to me, more of a poet than a songwriter. This is a little serious for this show, but I listen to a lot of Willie Nelson, and I like what he says in a lot of his songs, the lyrics to his songs. I am actually a very serious person. I'm actually too serious most of the time. And I think a lot about things I don't understand and how I was brought up and raised to judge and to, I don't know if hate's the right word, but one of the things that kind of separated me from my parents was that I questioned things like, why are we supposed to treat these people this way? And why can't I have a Catholic friend over to the house? What's wrong with Catholics? And why is this person going to hell like you say they are? Let me read you lyrics to a song called It's Not For You to Understand. This is a song I think Willie did many, many years ago. But listen to these lyrics. And I see that I'm running out of time because I want to play you the song, because then I have a question and I want to see if you notice something about the song. Here are the lyrics. I passed a home the other day, and the yard was filled with kids at play. On the sidewalk of this home, a little boy stood all alone. His smiling face was sweet and kind, but I could see the boy was blind. He listened to the children play, and I bowed my head, and there I prayed, "Dear Lord above, why must this be?" And then these words came down to me. After all, you're just a man. It's not for you to understand. It's not for you to reason why. You, too, are blind without my eyes. So question not what I command, because it's not for you to understand. Now, I want to play you a little of that song, and then we'll take a break. We'll do the news, and we'll talk to John Landoff and give you time to think about this, what you notice in this song that drove me crazy for 3 days until I figured it out. Let me see if I can make this happen here. You're listening for something, if you're a baby boomer, let's put it that way.
I passed a home the other day. The yard was filled with kids at play. And on the sidewalk of this home, a little boy stood all alone. His smiling face was sweet and kind, but I could see the boy was blind. He listened to the children play. I bowed my head, and there I prayed, "Dear Lord above, why must this be?" And then these words came down to me. After all, you're just a man, and it's not for you to understand.
Now, what I want you to do is, now that you've heard it, especially if you're a baby boomer, is there something about that song that seems very familiar to you? We'll leave it at that. And I say baby boomer because it has something to do with a... Well, just think about that. Try to remember the melody, and then we'll get into more of it later. Save a little business for after the news break. Come back, talk to John Landoff. Josh Bauman in the house to help you with your tech issues. We are glad you are with us today. I have a good joke for you today, too. So welcome aboard. Stay right where you are. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
590 The Fan, with your local talent covering your St. Louis teams. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Tom Roberts. The coronavirus outbreak is being blamed for a major sell-off on Wall Street today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average plummeted 1,032 points. CNBC's Sue Herrera.
The market has taken a look at what's happening with the coronavirus, and it was the spread to Italy, which now has pretty much the most confirmed cases.